Welcome to the Renovate Podcast. This message entitled His Needs, Her Needs was given by Rusty Gerhardt and is the third in a four-part series called I Want a New Marriage.
We've only been married a short time and we like to share everything.
But we noticed some subtle things we couldn't share.
Well, subtle things that happen every 28 days or so.
It's nobody's fault.
Well, just nature doing its job.
But it didn't seem right that I was excluded.
Well, thanks to the wonderful people at Merck Frost, we can both now share the PMS experience.
Monthly Man. It allows me the privilege of the female experience.
Each capsule contains tiny time-released hormones that surge through your system, taking you on the emotional roller coaster ride of your life.
It's beautiful. I never realized how wonderful.
No. Don't worry. I'm here now.
What's that supposed to mean? You going somewhere later?
Listen, we'll eat some ice cream and talk about it.
I won't upload it to you.
Monthly Man, because you don't know any better.
I don't know who picks out these clips, okay? So whatever. I just think it's hilarious. My name's Rusty, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it is great to be here with you. Hey, I do want to welcome you. This is our third week of our series, I Want a New Marriage. And so we are today going to be looking at his needs and her needs, okay? But before we do that, here's the deal. I actually want to ask Josh, would you mind coming back down here? Josh has actually been around with us since the beginning. He's been here ever since the beginning. He is our worship pastor here and done a phenomenal job doing that. I mean, the guy works, he does a whole lot of things that you probably would never know. You know, he really does. I mean, we have worked together. We have bled together. He's cried on my shoulder a number of times just because he's a wuss, but that's okay. But he's actually made a huge difference here at Renovate Church, which is why when I got the phone call that said he was leaving, it floored me. It absolutely floored me. I was walking through Walmart and I got the call. Apparently, there was, you know, every single other person in the church was walking through Walmart at the exact same time. And so everybody wanted to talk. And so I was like, dude, I just cannot talk to anybody. So I looked at my wife and I was like, you know what? I got to go. I got to get out of here. And so I went and sat in my car for like 30 minutes just thinking about the phone call that I just had, you know. But you know what? The more that we were able to talk, the more that we were able to think through all of this, I really feel like this is of the Lord. Like God is calling Josh. He really is. And, you know, right now we don't know exactly where Josh is going. I do know that for the next couple of months he is going to be working in a new ministry up in Missouri, working with his father. And so for that, I'm actually really ticked off at him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really not. I love this guy. But I really feel like God is calling him to do this. And so anytime someone is willing to step out and in obedience to God, walk in obedience to wherever God is calling them, not only should that be applauded, guys, but that should also be encouraged. We should encourage him in what he's doing. And so here's the deal. You guys don't know this, but ever since day one that Josh and I met, ever since day one, he has been talking to me about some stupid guitar pedal, okay? Really. Honestly, I mean, he's like, Rusty, the music would be so much more amazing if I just had this guitar pedal, you know? I mean, people would come to Jesus because of this pedal, right? I mean, seriously. And so he's hounding me about this guy. And so recently, I went out, bro, to Guitar Center, and he knows, please do not ever send me to Guitar Center, all right? I am totally out of my element at Guitar Center. I mean, send me to Sports Authority, I'm good. Send me to Guitar Center or, you know, Victoria's Secret, I'm clueless, okay? Completely clueless. And so I'm sitting there, Josh, I'm fumbling around for like 30 minutes. I'm not even kidding. I'm fumbling around for 30 minutes. I find some like 13-year-old kid sitting over there, and I'm like, dude, you need to help me and just point me in the right direction, right? It's like that one right there is the pedal that you need. And so, guys, we just wanted to, as a church, be able to take some time, just a second, and just say thank you for all that Josh has done. I mean, the dude has sacrificed. He will not stand up here and tell you all that he sacrificed, but I can tell you right now, he has sacrificed probably more than anybody else out here. He really has. He is a talented man of God, and he could go anywhere, but he sacrificed so that he could be here at Renovate Church and really impact lives. And so, guys, can we just say thank you to him? Just a small token of appreciation to Josh. Can we do that? So, bro, this is for you. The guitar pedal. I thought about getting you like one of them Jesus little figurines or something, you know, but figured that might actually help you in your ministry, you know. But here's the deal. Guys, can we just pray for him real quick? Can we pray over him? Father God, it is with a heavy heart, Lord, that we say goodbye to our brother. He's a man of God. You have called him, and you guide his footsteps. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time that we've had with Josh. We thank you for all of the blood, sweat, and tears that he's poured into your church. God, and it's just been a privilege to be able to serve with him. Bless his ministry as he continues to go, for he is your true servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, man.
Get off my stage. Well, here's the deal. Can we get into marriage now, please? Can we do that? We're going to get into marriage, and we're going to be talking about his needs and her needs. We're going to be talking about all of these types of things in marriage. And you know what? Here's the deal. This series has actually been pretty fun for me. It's really kind of been pretty fun for me to do, but it's also made me assess some of the things in my own marriage, you know? And so again, if you're single and you're here, I just want to thank you guys for being here. My hope is that you are going to be able to use this information to help form and shape your idea of marriage. Because, I mean, let's just be honest, right? Our idea of marriage, our idea of love have been shaped by so many different things. It's been shaped by the families we've grown up with, right? It's been shaped by the culture that surrounds us, which is why our idea of love is so idealistic. Because it's been painted by books, it's been painted by movies and fairy tales, and all of these things have shaped our view of love. But nothing has shaped our view of love as much as love songs, right? Seriously. I mean, you guys, you know, when you turn on the radio, you get all emotional, you know. Guys and girls, I mean, even the dudes, you know, you even start crying sometimes when you're listening to songs on the radio, right? How many of you actually cry when you listen to songs on the radio? I know, thank you. One man in the whole room just said yes. All right, there's two, see, but you needed somebody else to help you out. But we do, I mean, we get all emotional, right? And see, the people who have shaped our view of love the most are people like Marvin Gaye, you know? Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, right? Flavor Flav. I mean, these are the people, right, that have shaped our idea of love. And so I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about, you know, back in the day, back in high school and junior high, where we had our song. You guys remember that? I mean, it was so cheesy, right? I mean, the first time that you held your girl's hand, or the first time you kissed, whatever was playing on the radio became your song. Right? How many of you guys had your songs? Absolutely. You did. I know you did. And so here's the deal. You know, I don't know about you, but at my school, you know, like the number one our song back in the day was Sting, Every Breath You Take. You guys remember that song? It was so romantic. It was. You guys remember? Here, let me read it. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you, you know? It moved us. It did. And so here I am, like, you know, 15 years removed from high school, and I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, you know, that's actually kind of a creepy song, you know? It really is. I mean, here's another line. It says, every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you, you know? Every move you make, I'll be watching you, right? I mean, they should rename that like the restraining order song, you know? They do, or like I'm the creepy stalker guy song, right? And see, we walk into these marriages with this idealistic view of what love should look like, what marriage should look like. And we've got all these great hopes and these dreams and these wishes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But without even meaning to, without even being intentional about it, we said it a couple weeks ago, these hopes and these dreams and these wishes turn into expectations, right? They turn into expectations. And when these expectations are not met, typically we go to some extreme measures to get what we want. We go to extreme measures to try to shape and form the person that we're married to into the type of individual that we want them to be. We go to extreme because that's what we think is going to work. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Glore Museum out in Missouri? How many of you guys? Nobody. Yeah, because it's a crazy place. It's actually an old lunatic, depressing lunatic asylum, which is what makes Missouri such a perfect place for it, you know. But I mean, case in point, here's the deal. I was on their website just the other day, and one of the things that they tout, I mean, one of the links that they actually have on the website for this insane asylum is that there's fun kids events and activities to do in the psych ward, okay? I mean, seriously, I mean, that's what they're touting, really. And so it's an insane asylum that was operating about 100 years ago, all right? And so obviously there was a lot of mental patients in there that were dealing with a lot of mental issues and whatnot. And 100 years ago, you know, the doctors and nurses didn't really know all that they do now about medicine, right? I mean, they didn't really know all that. And so these guys tried to go to extremes to take care of it. All right, they said, you know what, we can take care of all these issues just by going to extremes. I think we have a couple of pictures that we can show you. In one area of the room, there's this life-size human gerbil wheel, all right, where they would make patients who were hyperactive run on this wheel sometimes for a couple of days. Seriously, they would you just will run. And so, you know, if you're a parent of a junior hire, you might actually like something like that. You know, I don't know. But they would make them run. There's another part of this museum that they had what was called the bath of surprise. And so they would take these people that had anxiety issues. And I don't know, you guys ever been to Wet n' Wild where you know, they got that, like, flume thing and you stand there and then they pull out the platform from under you and you just drop, right? Well, that's exactly what this was. They would drop you into this ice-cold bathwater sometimes for hours, thinking that these extreme measures were actually going to work. The last thing that's up there, you can see it over here. It looks like an electric chair, but it was called the tranquilizer chair. Don't know why they call it that, but they call it that. They would actually leave people in there for up to 6 months. Seriously, 6 months. And so they would let you get out to use the bathroom or whatever. But if you notice, there's a bathroom in the bottom of that thing too, you know? And so they would think that, you know, if they went to these extreme measures, that they would get the results that they actually wanted. And so here's the deal. We're not experts, right? But we know that that's probably not going to get you what you want, you know? I mean, nothing good is going to come out of such extreme measures. I mean, it may instill fear in them. It might make them angry, but it's not going to change anything, right? And see, we do that all the time in our marriages. We try and change the person that we're with by going to extremes. We think, you know, here's the deal. Whoever can scream the loudest, right? Whoever can get the most intense, whoever can play the silent game the longest, whoever can withhold sex the longest, then we're going to get our way. That's who's going to win. And sometimes we go to these extremes, and the reality is that it never works. It never works. Where instead of growing closer to each other, instead of helping our spouse become all that we know that they could be, the relationships get strained. And see, they may begin to cooperate, you know, out of fear. They may begin to cooperate because, you know, they don't want the repercussions. But at the end of the day, nobody's really changing, right? That stuff never really helps us change, because the truth is that nobody ever changes when they're criticized. Nobody ever changes when they're unappreciated or they're disliked, right? I mean, they might get defensive. They might get protective, but they don't change. And see, the only way that we can change the one that we're with is, first of all, by starting right here. Is by changing us. And then by helping them feel understood. We need to help them feel, help by addressing their specific needs and help them feel as if they're understood. And so here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to be talking in very general terms, okay? I'm going to be talking about general terms in ways that we can start to understand our spouse. All right? And so I'm going to be talking about women, of which I am an expert, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really an expert on women. I'm going to be talking about guys. I'm going to be talking about all these things. But here's the deal. These are going to be general statements. I'm going to be making generalized statements that may not specifically apply to you, but they also could be applicable to your marriages anyway, right? I mean, some of them may apply to you as well. And so here's the deal. We're going to jump into this. We've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to kind of go through it pretty quickly. And so here's the first one. Write this down. There's an outline in your program there. Write the first one down. What do women need? Women need affection. Women need affection. They non-sexual. I know. I don't get it either. But see, this is tough for guys. Because most guys, I mean, generally speaking, most guys don't need that much affection, right? I mean, I do not know a single man who walks home and looks at his wife and says, honey, you know what? I just want you to hold me, you know? I just need to be held right now, right? Guys don't do that. We don't look at that. We don't say that. Right? That's tough for guys. I mean, guys, when they think about affection, I mean, they think, yeah, you know what? I'm more than happy to give my wife affection, you know? When it's late at night, you know, I'm in bed, I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm more than happy to give her, you know, 3.5 minutes of affection right now, right? I mean, really, that's how we think. But see, sex is not a woman's primary need. Affection is. And men, what a woman needs is a woman needs affections by the words that we use. She needs affections by building her up, by encouraging her, by believing her, by telling her how beautiful she is. She needs affections by our words. She needs affection by our actions, you know? She needs hugs. She needs kisses. She needs to be held every once in a while. That's how most women are built. She needs to know that her husband isn't afraid to hold her hand when she's out in public. She needs to know that her husband isn't afraid to open a door every once in a while or to give her love notes every once in a while, right? But see, guys aren't built like that, are we? I mean, we don't even think about love notes, right? We don't. I mean, you know, how many of us really sit there and think, you know, I should leave a love note on her vanity for when I go off to work, you know? Or maybe I should leave a love note in her lunch bag for when she goes off to work, right? No. We don't think that way because we're not built that way. It doesn't come naturally. Women, however, are built that way. And they want and they need to feel like a princess. And the more that we, men, the more that we treat them like a princess, guess what? The more they're going to believe that they're a princess. And so here's the deal. You know, this isn't men, our primary as well, but it's also something that we deal with too. That both the wife and the husband both want to feel like they are the most important person in the world to their spouse. They want to feel like they are totally into us, right? Where we don't want to be compared to other people, right? I mean, we don't want to be compared to our best friend's spouse. We don't want to be compared to some airbrushed image in a magazine. We want to know that our spouse is completely into us. If you're married and your husband or your wife, if they're loud, guess what? You're into loud, right? If they're married, if you're married and your spouse is quiet, your husband is quiet, your wife's, guess what? You're into quiet, you know? If they're tall, you're into tall. If they're short, you're into short. If they're skinny, you're into skinny. If they've put on a few pounds since you've got married, you're into formally skinny, right? It's true. You are. She or he needs to be the standard of beauty, and your wife needs affection. Here's the deal. When you are able to show your wife affection, here's what that really says. Here's what it really does. It gives her a sense of security. It gives her a sense of comfort, a sense of approval. It says, I believe in you. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to support you. You are my girl, and I am proud of you. And every girl not only needs that, but they deserve it as well. Women need affection. And so on the flip side of that, here's number two. If women need affection, here's number two. Men need sexual fulfillment. Men need sexual fulfillment. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. This is obviously something that we covered last week, you know. But I did want to point out just a couple of different things. And one is that, you know, the Bible does not shy away from our sexuality, okay? It doesn't. I mean, God is not, he does not blush when we talk about sex, right? He invented it. I mean, Adam did not just simply fall and trip on Eve and be like, oh, you know, that was awesome, right? He doesn't do it. It's not a surprise. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, here's what it says. It says, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs. I love that it says needs. It doesn't say wants. It says needs. And the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband. And the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations. And so, ladies, here's the deal. If you want to show your husband love, I want to encourage you. Be sensual for him. I'm not just talking about in the bedroom, okay? I'm not. I'm talking about maybe, you know, what you wear, right? I mean, if he likes a certain style, wear that style. If he likes a certain style haircut, wear that style haircut. Because here's the deal. Ladies, what you're really communicating to him is that your opinion matters. That I am still trying to impress you. That I am trying to be sensual for you and you alone. That is exactly what that is communicating. And my wife does that all the time. She is constantly trying to be sensual for me. She constantly asks me, you know, what kind of hairstyle I like, what kind of lipstick I like, you know, whether I like this shirt or that shirt. And if I don't like it, even if she does, she won't buy it. She won't buy it. Because what she is saying, what she is communicating to me is that, Rusty, you are the only one I care about looking good for. That's it. And you know what that does? That makes me feel valuable. That makes me feel important. That makes me feel desired by my smoking hot wife. Really. It really does. And I love the fact that she does that for me. And so girls need affection, and guys need sexual fulfillment. All right? If you want to know more about sex, then you can look in the web podcast. It's on our website. We talked about all of it last week. And so here we go. Here's number three. I told you we're going to fly through these, guys. Here's number three. Number three is she needs conversation. Conversation. Another way of putting that is she needs verbal attention. She needs to know that we're interested in her, right? She needs to know that we're not afraid to kind of investigate a little bit more about who she is. And so here's the deal. Let's just be honest. This is kind of tough, isn't it? It's kind of tough because here's the deal. A lot of times our days are just routine, right? They are. It's like, oh, what'd you do today? Oh, let me guess, you know, you went to work, right? Or what'd you do? Oh, let me guess. You know, you stayed home with the kids and they were crabby, right? I mean, our days are routine, which is why this is sometimes so stinking difficult. A number of years ago, I began to notice that every time I was hanging out with my wife or, on a date night or something like that, I would constantly be looking at my email. I'd be looking at my email on my phone, and so I'd be looking at that, or I'd be, texting, or I'd be surfing the web, or whatever. And see, the reason why I noticed it is because she actually pointed it out to me, you know? I mean, that's just how, I'm a pretty clueless individual. But see, I noticed that I was constantly doing this. And so here's it. She looked at me and said, Rusty, you know, here's the thing. It's not only, you know, when we're together, but you're also doing it when we're together as a family. When we're having dinner, you know, as a family, you're looking at your email. It's controlling you, you know? And that is something that I never, ever, ever wanted to communicate. Because what I realized I was actually communicating to her was that you bore me. Was that you are not important. That whatever was coming in on my email, whatever was coming in there was more important than her. Right? That's what I was communicating. And I never, ever wanted to communicate that again. And so here's the deal. I just went drastic. I did. I never look at my phone while we're together. Ever. I mean, that thing could buzz or ring or chirp or do whatever the heck sounds it wants to do. I'm not looking at it. All right? Even if she tells me to look at the phone. Look at it, honey. You need to check it out. I won't even look at it. I'll say, here, baby, if you want it, you can look at it. You know? I do not ever want to communicate that there is something more important than she is. And see, guys, this isn't easy. This conversation thing for us is not easy, right? I mean, because the studies are conclusive. The studies between, you know, how much women talk versus how much men talk. I mean, they are conclusive. Women talk a lot, right? They do. And so here's the deal. I mean, it's tough for us to really get invested in this. Because God has made them with this yearning for this desire to have conversation. And see, I know that there are seasons of marriage where things just are routine, right? Where there's just not too much to talk about. But the truth is that both men and women have interests. And if we do not investigate those interests, we will grow further and further apart. Let me read that verse to you. We read a verse back in week one. Here's what it said, Philippians 2:4. It says, don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You want a closer connection? You have to have conversation. You see, thankfully, there's a lot of things out there that can really help us out with this. How many of you guys have ever heard of John Gottman? Research guy, marriage dude. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. John's a great guy. He's written a number of books. He wrote a book called The Seven Principles of Marriage. He's written a number of different books. But Gottman is really known for the amount of research that he's done over his lifetime. He's done about 35 years of research. I mean, this dude is the premier eminent guy on research, period, out there on marriage, on how to make a marriage work, on how, you know, to keep it going, right? And so here's one of the biggest findings that he found. And it might seem a little ridiculous, but one of the biggest things that he found was that it really lies in the little things. It lies in the little things. That's what he found. After 35 years of research, he said, you know what? The more little things you know about your spouse, the greater your foundation is going to be. Little things like, you know, what's their favorite kind of ice cream, right? How do they like their steak? I mean, tiny little things. Because the more we know about that, the greater our foundation becomes. And so here's the deal. He wrote this, he devised this thing called a love map. You guys ever heard of love maps out there? Love maps, he kind of equated it to like a navigation system. It was kind of, you know, the more that you know about love maps, the more that you know about your other person, the better you are at navigating who they are. And so women, if you want to know more about your man, you know, ask him what team he likes, you know. Ask him why he likes that team. Ask him, you know, what he actually does on his job. Not just that he's a salesman or that he's a construction worker or whatever, but actually what he does, you know. And men, here's the deal. If you want to know more about the women that you're married to, I mean woman that you're married to, I'm sorry, that shouldn't be plural, the woman that you're married to, here's the thing. Is that you need to ask her questions. Ask her what store she likes to shop at. Ask her what her hobbies are, you know. Investigate. Ask her if she actually likes that brown t-shirt that you always wear when you're at home, you know. Ask her. Find out about these types of things. Because when you find out about these types of things, you will draw closer together and you'll build a greater foundation for marriage. And so here's the deal. We didn't just leave you hanging. We actually put a love map questionnaire on our Facebook page. And so if you want to do some homework this week, there's 22 questions that you can run through on our Facebook page. Go ahead, check it out. I think it's RenovateCC or Facebook.com/RenovateCC.com or something like that. Jay? Yes, something. Anyway, Facebook, Renovate Church, find it. It's on there. It will be helpful, okay? And so here's the deal. Number three, women need conversation. Number four, this is irony, guys. Men need peace and quiet, all right? Men need peace and quiet. I mean, do you see the tension? Do you see the tension that is in relationships? And I know, you know, if you're dating right now and you're a guy, you can just talk, right? You can just keep on talking, you know? And here's why. The reason is because you don't know as much about that person as you do when you're married, right? Things change. You get to know so much more about people, which is why this is so much work. And see, ladies, this idea of peace and quiet, this might be a little bit difficult for you, all right? And I know that you know, especially for those of you who work inside the home, because I can tell you right now that those of you women who work in the home need a bigger break than anybody else. That is the hardest job in the entire world, and I know that. And so last week we alluded to the fact that guys, you know, their brains are made up by a bunch of different boxes, right? That we have a box for everything. We have a box for money. We have a box for sports. We have a box for work. We have a box for our mother-in-law in the basement somewhere, you know? We do. We have all these types of boxes, and our brains are broken up into these boxes. Women, you do not have boxes. You have wires, right? Where everything is connected, where your job is connected to your parents, which is connected to your husband, which is connected to your kids, which is connected, right? Everything is connected, which is why feelings become such a big deal. It's all about feelings because feelings is what connects everything together. And that is why it is so difficult to understand that men, we have boxes up here, women, you don't have, called the nothing box, okay? We have the nothing box. And so you ask, you know, what's in that box? Nothing. Nothing is in that box. And we take it out all the time, don't we? We do. We take it out on Saturdays. We take it out when we get home from work, right? And you know, you're sitting there, you're like, what in the world is he thinking about? I'll tell you what he's thinking about. Nothing. He's thinking about absolutely nothing. I mean, here's the thing. Maybe, ladies, you've asked your spouse, you know, just a very basic question. And it took him like 3.5 months to respond, right? Yeah, it's because we were thinking about nothing. And so here's the deal. I am not advocating laziness, okay? I am not saying that a man should do nothing around the house. I am not suggesting that at all. But I am suggesting that there's a time in a man's day that he needs to be left alone. Left alone so he can just do nothing, you know, just have some peace and quiet. Now, obviously, there's going to need to be a little bit of agreement on this, right? I mean, it can't just be from like 4 p.m. until 9 p.m, you know. We can't do that. But there still needs to be a time in a man's day that he is just able to just sit and do nothing. And see, ladies, here's the temptation. The temptation for you is going to be to nag him, right? It's going to be to nag him. Oh, look at all I'm doing. You know, look at all this stuff I do around him. Don't nag him, okay? Proverbs 21:9, here's what it says. It says, it's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. You know what makes that verse funny? Is that the guy who wrote that actually had 1,000 wives. That's what makes that funny, because he knows a little bit about it, you know? And so here's the deal. Men, we need to engage in conversation. Women, every guy in here would say that they do cherish their time alone. They cherish their downtime, and they like it peace and quiet. Here's the fifth one. The fifth one is this. She needs openness and honesty. She needs openness and honesty.
Is it true you were a crack cocaine dealer for 7 years?
I plead the fifth.
Sir, will you tell us about the cartels you dealt with in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
No, but I can tell you that I plead the fifth.
Exactly how much money did you earn in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
There. I said there are so many amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America. I can only choose one. I can only choose one.
Did you?
I have a secret document that I think you need to say.
Hello to you all, sir. Good afternoon. I got your sentence reduced to a month.
Oh!
That video has absolutely nothing to do with marriage. Nothing. But I've been sitting on it for like 8 months, and I figured the very first time I saw someone with the word honesty in it or something like that, I was using it, okay? So I like that video. It had nothing to do with marriage. But see, here's the deal. Women need to know that we are being open and honest with them. They need to know that we're not hiding any secrets. They need to know that we're not keeping anything from them, right? That we're not pleading the fifth in here, okay? They need to know. They need openness and honesty. I'm not sure if you guys saw any of the interviews a few months ago with Ted and Gail Haggard. Did you see any of those interviews? Well, there was a lot of different interviews going on with that. They interviewed on The View. They were on Oprah. They were on Larry King. They were on just a number of different interviews. And so if you don't know who Ted Haggard is, Ted was a pastor of a very large church down in Colorado Springs. And he was until he was caught in an adulterous affair. And so Larry King, when they were on Larry King actually asked a question of his wife, Gail. He said, Gail, you know what? After all that you've been through, all of the issues that have gone on, all of the affair, all of the cheating, all of that kind of stuff, what was it that hurt you the most? What was it that caused you the most pain? And Gail's answer was actually pretty amazing, because she didn't say the affair. Although that truly hurt her, she did not say that. She said, actually, the thing that hurt me the most is that he was not open and honest with me. That when I asked him, you know, what was going on, he just kind of dodged it. He didn't tell me what was really happening. And so it felt like I didn't even know my husband at that time. I didn't even know who he was. And see, man, here's the deal. We need to sometimes go to extremes to make sure our wives know that we are being open and honest with them. That's all they want. That's all they need. This is really the reason why I don't have, I don't ride in cars with other females. I don't. Unless they're my wife or my family, I will not ride in a car with a female. And so, you know, does the Bible tell me I can't do that? No. Does the church tell me? No, not at all. But I never want to be put in a position where I'm going to have to ask, let my wife ask me, you know, what exactly happened in that car with so-and-so, right? If I meet with a lady, I'm going to meet with her, you know, in an open setting. I'm going to meet you at Starbucks. Now more than ever, because they have pumpkin spice lattes there, and I love those things, you know. I got a person, she's like, what? Yeah, because they're awesome. They are. I'll meet you at Starbucks. It's the reason why I have a software on my computer that if I go to any questionable sites, it will automatically email some of my best friends. It'll automatically email my wife. Rusty, whoa, why do you do that, you know? Are you afraid that you're going to want to look at pornography? Oh, absolutely. That is exactly why I do that. Exactly. Exactly why I put these systems and these structures in place into my life so my wife will never, ever, ever have to ask if I'm being open and honest with her. If I'm being open with my wife. I mean, she can come to me and pull out my computer and say, Rusty, I want to see your history right now. Phew, nothing to hide, baby. It is right there all for you. And so maybe you say, you know, Rusty, you know, that sounds a little extreme. You know, that's a little, and sometimes, you know, it is. But here's the deal. Ask me, or better, ask my wife how many times she has ever doubted my faithfulness to her. She's doubted a lot of other things to me, about me, I mean, because I'm not perfect. But she has never doubted my faithfulness to her. And see, I don't ever want to put that in her mind that I'm not being open and honest with her. I will go to extremes to make sure that she knows how much I love and how loyal I am to her. Guys, all they want is openness and honesty. And we need to do whatever it takes to give it to them. All right? Here's the last one. Here's the last thing. If she needs openness and honesty, he needs respect. He needs respect. Ladies, we just need to know that you are our biggest fans, you know? We love respect. Now, respect is not saying, you know, I adore you, right? No, that's not what it means. I mean, it might not hurt every once in a while, but that's not what it means. It just means that it's obvious that I believe in you. Again, I'm gonna brag on my wife a little bit. I'm sorry. I just think that she's an awesome lady. I really do. Because I really don't think that there's another lady who would put up with as many shenanigans as I put this woman through. I really don't. Case in point, we've been married 6 years, and we have moved 8 times. Now, the reason why that's actually a lot is because my wife grew up her entire life in Vegas, okay? Her entire life she was in Vegas, and she moved once, all right? From this street to, like, 4 streets over, and I'm not kidding. She moved that far her entire life, and then we're married 6 years. I know this girl 6 years, and we move 8 times, you know? I mean, we moved down the street. We moved across the country twice, different cities, different churches, you know. And never once did she ever, you know, call me an idiot for doing that. Never once did she make me feel dumb because we were moving yet again. I mean, all I would simply say was like, baby, you know what? I just really feel like God's plan is for us to go here. And so we are moving to San Diego. To which she said, that is definitely of the Lord, you know, absolutely. And then it was like 3 years later, I said, you know what, all right, baby, you know what, we're moving to Florida. She said, you might want to pray about that some more. Don't think that one's from Jesus, you know. No, actually, she didn't say that. She said, whatever, let's go. Whatever you think, baby, we're going to go. And so we discussed it, and she just packed up the house, she packed up the kids, and she said, we are moving. What is our next step? And so she was constantly showing me by her actions that she was my biggest fan. And so you know what that said to me? That said that, you know what, you are in my corner. I'm there for you. I'm going to be there for you. And ladies, we need that. And it's not an ego thing. It's not. But there's something inside of us that yearns for respect. Look at Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. It says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. And so men, here's the deal. Leadership does not mean lordship. And ladies, here's the thing. Submission does not mean walked on. It doesn't. The Bible, when it talks about spiritual leadership and the man taking spiritual leadership, means that we are setting the tone for our household. That we are setting the tone in our attitudes, that we're setting the tone in our actions, that we are setting the tone in the way that we teach our children to talk to their mama. You know, we are setting the tone in all of these areas. That's what it means to take spiritual leadership in our homes. And guess what? When we set the tone for that, it is a whole lot easier for our wives to follow. A whole lot. And so maybe for you that means, you know, on Sunday morning, men, that you are saying, all right, family, we're going to church. You know, maybe that's what it means. Maybe it's, you know, instead of your wife dragging you, you are bringing them, you know? Instead of, working on your own things, maybe it's putting your family's needs above your own. Instead of just doing something, maybe it's working on your character to make sure that it's full of integrity in every single little thing that you do. That's spiritual leadership. That's where your theology meets your life. And where Jesus has an actual impact on who you are. That's what that means. That's spiritual leadership in our homes. And see, some of us would say, you know what, I just don't have a huge spiritual background, right? That's okay. Because let me tell you a little secret. Women would much rather prefer a man who cherishes them. A man who honors them, who appreciates them, who loves them, who says, you know what, you're my girl. A woman would much rather have a man who doesn't know very much about the Bible, but is trying, than someone who will sit there and can quote all the Greek and Hebrew that the Bible is originally written in, or someone who has a master's degree from some seminary who tells you to sit down and shut up because they are the man of the house. A woman would much rather prefer that. And see, ladies, we yearn for respect. We do. But men, we've got to earn it as well. And we earn it from a place of servant leadership. That's how we earn it. And so here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line to everything that we talked about today, okay? I know I've gone over. I'm so sorry. Here's the bottom line. Everybody needs to be loved in a way that is meaningful to them. If there is a family in here that only speaks German, you know what? Here's the deal. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Anybody? No, I'm just kidding. If we could be as articulate as we want, right? We could talk as long as we possibly can. But if we are not communicating in a way that they understand, they will receive nothing, right? And that happens all the time in our marriages. That we think, you know, I'm communicating love, I'm communicating love, I'm communicating love, right? But we're actually communicating in a way that our spouse does not understand it. Women understand love through openness and honesty, through affection, through conversation. Men understand love through sexual fulfillment. They understand love through respect. They understand love through affirming words. And we need to be trying to speak the same language. We all receive love differently, but we need to try and show and model love to our spouse in a way that they can understand. Pray with me, please.